It's wonderful to be here. Sanboni. Sanbonani nonke. Hoyomora. It is great to be here and wonderful to be able to be in Cape Town again. You guys are a very special group, full of love. I feel so welcome here. And thank you so much, Van, and for Lise, and it's been an incredible time. It feels as if I've been here for a week already, just connecting with folk and getting with the teen parents yesterday, and a great Q&A and chatting with each other. But it is wonderful to be here. Appreciate your warmth, appreciate your love, and at this time, let's pray for the message. Holy God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your incredible love for us, that you are crazily in love with us. Father, take me aside and help me to present your message and that you will be glorified. I really do pray for that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, where do I start? Greetings from Durbs. Amen. A couple of Durbanites here. Are you settling in Cape Town? Amen. And I saw Brenda here for the weekend. And, you know, so it's wonderful to be together. We've only got one daughter at home. Shelley's with us. Praise God that that worked out. Lindsay's in Johannesburg. Shelley's boyfriend came down from Johannesburg. I'm trying to work on the Lobola there. The father is a disciple in the Northwest into IT, so I'm going to have an exception that I'm not after the cattle, but I want 20 computers. You know what I mean? And so that's that one. The other one is still up for Lobola, so we can negotiate. Amen. And so life is good. It's good to plan your retirement like this. And, you know, girls are a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Financial blessings. But this morning we're going to be talking about remembering. Is it not cool to be able to remember things in life? And I remember when we got married. Now, last year was a big year for us. We celebrated our 25th anniversary. Amen. I turned a good old 50 years old. Amen. My dad turned 80. Shelley turned 20. Lisa's mum turned 70. And, you know, it's just a great year of remembering. Look at what God has done for us. And that's sort of what remembrance is. And, you know, I think of my wedding day and you know, that hair. You know, it was... Man, it was down to here, and I was a bit more buff and in those days, but it's, you know, things have thinned out, and we're going forward along this journey of life. I remember Johnny Muir taking a day off being a teacher. I think he was teaching or selling swimming wear. I'm not quite sure which one it was. But he took a day off work, and he was at the hospital for the whole day when Lindsay was born. And he said, "Dunks, don't worry." And I was anxious and sweating and like, "Oh, my child, this is my first one." And Johnny was there. "No, it's cool. It's going to be great." And, you know, and he sort of was there with that amazing smile, that amazing blessing. And it's so wonderful to remember. And this theme of remembrance is really across God's word. It's there because God doesn't want us to forget things. He wants us to remember the good. And there's so many great things that we can remember. And he kept on taking the Israelite nation and saying, "Please remember. Remember what I've done. Don't forsake me. I'm taking you back. Remember these things." And here in the Word of God in Isaiah 46, it says, "Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me." Deuteronomy, there's so many scriptures on remembrance. The whole book is about a book of remembrance. And in chapter 5, it says, "You shall remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. It goes on a few chapters later. You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and all of Egypt. And we remember those stories. Chronicles, remember his wonderful deeds which he's done. Which he's done. His marvels and the judgment from his mouth. Deuteronomy 8, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commands or not. And from the old to the new, and as you're looking into, you know, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the other books, and, you know, the book of Ephesians says, remember your old way of life. Don't forget it. And remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. The love of Christ. And it's all about remembering. If we don't remember, we forget. If we don't remember anniversaries, we're in trouble, aren't we? If we miss someone's birthday that's important to us, thank goodness for Facebook, it does help us. That we look so intelligent. Man, I've got so many friends and I just remember their birthdays. You know, and it's so good to remember. This morning I'm going to be speaking about two sort of points here on remembrance. The first one, you want to increase your faith and you want it to grow. Remember these past victories. Remember the amazing blessings. But why is it so easy for you and me to remember the failures? To remember the disappointments? To remember the mistakes that we've made instead of the blessings? And yet at times we can be so focused on all the negative things. Teens, are there any teens in here? Oh yeah, there are a couple of teens here. I love your new teen room. And it's a, you know, as teens, it's so easy to remember. You know what? That result from that test was so bad, not so. And that sort of clouds you that when you go into the next one, instead of seeing your progress in life, we remember those failures. Oh, it's so easy to compare myself with this person in my class. Look at them. They're better than me. They're so sporty. Look at their figure. Look at me. I just don't have it. It's like, and we remember the negative things. And the more negative things that are filling us up, oh my goodness, we become this downward spiral. And it hurts us. And it harms us. What do you think about most? I used to have faith, but I don't quite have the faith that I've got. Oh man, I look at that couple and look at their friendships. Oh, I wish I had deeper friendships and I'm a bit shallow. Oh God, I'm just not effective for you. I'm failing my spouse. And maybe we need to remember of, well, when last was your marriage in a great place? And what were you doing then? And put those things into practice. And it's usually those small things in life that if we start filling ourselves up with the positive, God does great things. Or I'm feeling so discouraged. I share my faith and I'm trying to be a friendly guy, but no one's really responding to me. A few weeks ago, I needed to get an early night's sleep on a Saturday night because I was running a race the next morning. And I needed to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. So I went to bed and ate the right food and got into bed. And a couple of houses away, there was a party going on. And all my mind could think about was the negative things. Woe am I. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm not going to have energy to run tomorrow. And I was preaching this message a few weeks ago, and I just thinking about it, I get so easily caught up in the negative. Instead of looking at, man, I've got a fantastic bed. It's not bad at all. I got a fan over my bed in February in Durban. That's a blessing. I've got curtains in my room. Man, I'm a happy chappy. Let them party. I've got earplugs next to my bed. Now let me put them in. And let me close myself off to these negative things. But we get so easily distracted with the negative in our lives. And we're not allowing God to, you know, really work in us. And that's why God's word in Romans chapter 12 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not conform to the schemas of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's so important that something is renewing our mind and we're replacing the negative with something that's positive and something that's building us up and something that's going to make us happy and something that we're going to feel, man, I'm delighting in life. There's something I feel happy about life because we're filling ourselves up with something that is positive. And that's what Christ wants from our lives. He wants us to look at our lives and say, man, you know what? Your identity in Christ is incredible. There's nothing else to worry about. This is who you are in Christ. We sang about that this morning. Your sins are forgiven. You've got a relationship with God. This is the ID card that you walk around with. This is the love that God has for you. And yet we sort of play that down, but God is incredibly in love with you individually. He really is. And you wake up in the morning like, God just loves me so crazily. Man, I'm going to walk with Him. I'm going to talk with Him. This is exciting. He is crazy about me. Who was a young teen that had to go and do some business on the battlefields? His name was David. And he went along to the battlefields, and his older brothers were there, and he was ridiculed, and he was like, what are you doing here? It's like, you are of no use. You've got no experience in life. Go and look after those sheep. This is not the place for you. But what filled him up, he had an amazing walk with God. And he remembered the victories that God put him through. And he said, man, if God could do this to the lion, if God could do this to the bear, really, who is this giant? Why can't God do the same thing? And that's the way that he reasoned in his faith. And that's the way that he walked with his Lord. And I can almost picture him ignoring the negativity behind him. Yes, he heard it. Dropping off the armor and saying, I'm going to give this thing a go. And as he walked along and he walked to the river, and he knelt down, and Goliath was quite a way away, right over there. And he could talk to his Lord, and he could pick up his stones, and the Word of God says that he picked up 5 smooth stones, just like this. And some say that maybe Goliath had 4 brothers, so he had to be prepared, that it wasn't just the big boy. There could be bigger boys coming over the hill when the brother went down. So let me just be prepared here. And you know, the lion and the bear, but there's only one lion and only one bear. But God can do things with 5 Goliaths, and I'm just going to be prepared. And he picked up his stones. And that's sort of what got him prepared here. And and made him focus. And as we look at our lives, you and I all have these smooth stones. We really do. And yet we forget them so easily. And what I want to encourage you with this morning, your past victories are stepping stones to even greater blessings. And if you leave your past victories behind, you ain't got any stepping stones to jump on for future victories. Who in their youth, or maybe now still, loves going to a beautiful river or a stream and boulder hopping? Huh? And it's like, man, where is that stone? Whoops! And where's the next one? And where's the next one? And let's see how far we can run up the stream. And those stepping stones help you to go forwards. And yet, we rob ourselves from future blessings, and we allow Satan to rob us because of our negative thoughts and because we don't hold on to our smooth stones. And at times we want to do it sort of our way, and we push God aside and we're not carrying these smooth stones with him. What are your favorite smooth stones? What are your favorite victories with God? And I want you to think about that this week. Go and find your smooth stones and write on your smooth stones and put the victories on your smooth stones and keep those smooth stones in front of you. When Lindsay was small, the scripture that we had to help her to hold on to was Psalm 18. Because she was so small and the smallest in her class, we said, you know what? David was a small guy, but he had a big heart. You're a small girl, but man, you can do great things. And just hold on. With my God, I can. And we said, with my God, I can. And no matter what it was, with my God, I can scale this wall. I can get over this thing. With my God, I can. And so what I did in my quiet time a few weeks ago, I said, no, really, what are my smooth stones? And I had so many stones, so many other stones, but really, what are my five smooth stones? And these smooth stones can change as another victory comes on. It's like, oh God, I can't believe what you did in my life. But we've got so many stones and so many answered prayers. And I looked at my life and I said, you know what? My conversion was an absolute miracle. And I wrote it down. And really, your conversion is a miracle. My conversion, I still get quite emotional about it. I was walking down a street in London, engaged to this beautiful wife of mine in the frontier. And we're walking down the street, minding our own business. I was 25 years old, and up came another couple that were engaged also. They passed us by 5 meters, turned around and said, excuse me, what are your names? And we connected. And they had been sharing their faith that morning and no one was opened. And they could have just walked home and left us. And God's Spirit prompted them to share their faith with us. And they even walked past us. And we felt sorry for them that they didn't have any friends. And so we decided, well, let's just go to church once. And you know, just show them that South Africans are friendly. And, you know, and we went to church and man, God had this incredible plan for our lives. And we are like blown away. Wow, this is incredible, this treasure that we found. And that's really my greatest smooth stone. And then I remember, wow, now to tell my father that I'm no longer going to be farming and the farm is waiting for me and Lisa's got a pharmacy job and we're not going to come to Durban, but we're going to move to Johannesburg. And I've never worked in my life before. I've got no work experience. I've only been to university. I don't know how to apply for a job. I have been to Johannesburg once in my life. I don't know anyone there. I don't have any family there. But we're going to move there. I'm not married yet. We need to live in separate homes. How are we going to do this? And I'm like, oh my, how's God going to come through with this one? Yes, he can convert me, but how's he going to get through this one? And I remember, God, please, just do something. Please, God, do something. I went home, told my dad, I'm not going to farm. He was furious. Son, out you go. Boom. Okay, I knew that would take place, so that was one thing. And then just moved to Johannesburg, slept on the floor in a single brother's home. Lisa was with the minister and his wife in their home, and it was a Tuesday, and we said, well, let's get a newspaper in those days, because we didn't have these other things where you could look up jobs. And so we looked in a newspaper, there's a employment agency, well, let's go and tell them what I've studied at varsity. So I went along there. On the way to the employment agency, we passed a pharmacy. I said, Lise, we've got half an hour. Why don't you run in? I'll wait here. She runs in, comes out. Oh, I've got a job starting tomorrow. I'm like, what? It's the 10th of the month and you're starting tomorrow. Whoa, God, you're amazing. I go down into the bottom of Johannesburg opposite the Colton Center, walk up the stairs, said, man, I've studied finances, but I don't know how to do it. He says, just hold on. The floor below us needs a financial manager. I'm like, what? A financial manager? Debits, credits, I know a bit about that, but I don't know how to manage anything. And so I go in for the interview. They said, oh, no, you qualify. And I'm like, oh, I qualify. And, man, I get the job starting on Monday, like the 15th of the month or whatever. And, you know, it just started. And I just look at that smooth stone. Oh, that's God. Absolutely God. And we stayed in those jobs until we resigned and went on the mission team. And they didn't want us to resign, but we said, we've got other plans. God's got plans for our lives. And I think of my next smooth stone was this watershed prayer. My dad gave me a chance to farm again. And then after farming and doing great things on the farm, I had to disappoint him again and leave the farm and move to Johannesburg again to be in the full-time ministry. And I remember standing on the highest point of the farm and weeping. God, I will give this up. I don't want to move to Johannesburg. All I want to do is farm. I love nature. But I will give this up, but I need one request answered. Are you listening, God? And I said, I will give this up, but help my parents to one day sell the farms, move into Durban, and become disciples of Christ. God answered those prayers years later. And that's like a smooth stone for me. I remember praying for our girls, like, God, you know, I don't even know how to be a parent, but all I can do is just pray and making all these mistakes. But God, I just beg you, please, just soften their hearts. Help him to want to follow you. Please, God. And that's my next smooth stone with Lindsay and Shelley on. And I want to remember these things because God's answered those prayers. And I think of a recent smooth stone. I help out with the work in Zambia. And we had a couple from Kenya there for about 4.5 years. And they said that they wanted to move on and move to the States and work there in the full-time ministry. And it's a church of 150, and I was like, oh God, what do we do? There's no one to lead this church. And out of the blue, this young man, 28 and a half at that stage, without much ministry training, came on the radar screen. And he says, I'm willing to do it. I'm Zambian. I've been in Pretoria. I've done a one-year challenge or whatever. I'm willing to go home, and I'm willing as a single man to lead the church. I'm like, cool, let's do it. It's not ideal, but let's just do it. surrounded him with some married guys, and oh my goodness, he's doing such a great job. And God just keeps on bragging. And I'm just sort of standing back. What he's doing with Malawi is just so incredible. These are my smooth stones. And you've got your smooth stones. And I want to encourage you, hold on to them. Find them. Write it down. Keep them close to you. And remember these things. My second point is, you want your faith to grow, remember God's word. And in John 15, verse 20, remember the word I said to you. Jesus speaking, remember the word that I said to you. You and I have to have this sort of desire for God's word, digging deeper into God's word. I'm not sure about you, but when I think of food, I get extremely excited. I get this sort of buzz going on inside, and I eat an enormous amount of food. I really do, and I enjoy food. And I get very excited about food. I think last weekend, this couple from Johannesburg came down, Bev and Andrew, and they're farmers, and they brought all these vegetables, and I looked inside, and you know what I found? They brought me about 7 healthy-looking, glowing, shiny brinjals. And I was like, oh my goodness, brinjal, that smell, the texture. I'm like, man, can I just eat brinjal for supper? And I said, let's mix brinjal with this and brinjal with that. And I went on this sort of brinjal sort of diet and this excitement. And it's like, you know, that's what food does to me. And I don't know, some of you can relate, some not, but that's fine, you know. And, you know, another food, and some of you may not know what this is. Have you ever heard of a macaulay? See, no one here. Only 2 people in our church knew what a macaulay was. That was my dad and Mlu Mhlungu. You guys are obviously grew up in the city. Okay, now a macaulay is this beautiful mushroom that comes up, but I mean like this, and where there's lightning, and under the trash blanket of sugarcane, if there's lightning at night, you need to just run out there and move the trash blanket, move the leaves, and you see these beautiful mushrooms that just grow in front of you. You take those, chop them up, fry them in butter, make some toast, put it on top. Oh my goodness. And with a bit of brinjal on the side. Oh my, that is incredible. And now when you think of God's word, guys. Okay, so let's move away from food and let's think about God's word. Now when you think about God's word, what do you think about? At times we can think it is pretty boring. Let's be honest. It can be boring at times. And we can look at it through the lens of, well, this is just some good rules you ought to follow. You know, it's pretty useful also when I want it to be useful in my life. You know, it can be a bit of a ritual. And yet, if we change our mindset and look at something that we really delight in and take the Word of God and say, but you know what? The Word of God is living and it's active. Now, that's pretty powerful. This is not a ritual. This is not dead. This is not boring. God's Word is living. It's active. It's active for my life now, for my circumstance now, for my emotions now, for what I'm going through in life right now. God's Word is there for me. And if we want our faith to increase, the scripture that we all know so well, Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from. And the Word of God says it comes from many things, but this is one of the core things that our faith comes from. Hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. And when I thought about this, like, consequently, it comes from this. You know, we need to draw it from this. We need to sort of connect with it like this. The word that sort of jumped out for me recently is hearing. Now, when you're married and your wife says to you, "Duncan, you're not hearing me." Now, what does that mean? Okay? And I say, "Yes, I am. I can quote you, baby. This is what you said. I heard you. So, what's the problem? You know? I heard you. That's what you said. You can't change it." You know? And it's, you see, faith comes from hearing is a deep word, yeah. And there's a root, yeah. It's not just listening. It's not just reading. But it's getting integrated with it. There's this connection. It's talking to us. And when I'm not hearing Lisa, we have conflict in our marriage. And I cause the conflict, not her. Because I'm not, and John suffers with the same thing. Amen. And you know, when we're not hearing our wives, you know, it's that's what the problem is. Because they want to, "Yes, baby, you heard this, but now let's, are you an attentive listener?" And that's different to just listening. Are you attentively listening? Okay, that means you are replying with, "Babe, why does it make you feel like that? What is going on? What have I just said?" And you're digging deeper. And that's exactly what God wants us to do with His words. And maybe we have a culture in the church. How's your quiet time going? And we have to be careful about cultures. It's great to read God's word and it's great to pray. But our walk with God has to go so much deeper than that. It really does. And a quiet time ain't going to get us through the day. We need to be hearing the Word of God talking to us. As I get into the Word of God, do I see the heart of God? How is God's heart? That I'm walking away with, "Oh my goodness, look at the heart of God. Look at the character of God. Look at the dreams of God. My goodness, look at the promises of God. These promises cannot change. My emotions change. These things change. But the promises of God, He will never forsake you. He's always with you. It is there." And we're holding on to these things. And we're hearing the Word of God. Remember God's Word. I was at a conference last year in the States. And a brother wanted to get with me, and he wanted some help in his marriage. And I listened to him and gave him the best advice that I could. And then I learned something amazing from him. I said, "How's your walk with God? I'm not too happy with where I'm at. I'm not connecting emotionally enough." And he shared these things with me. And these have been special nuggets in my life over the last few months that have helped me so much connect with God. And he shared four very simple things. He said, before he opens up the Word of God, this is what he prays. And it can take 20 seconds. And he prays, "God, open my eyes to your word." In Psalm 119, verse 18, the word of God says, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law." Is that not beautiful? God, as I open this amazing book, help me to see wonderful things in your word. God, help me to learn and help me to change and help me to hear and help me to grow and help me to have the convictions that you want me to have as I'm communing with you in your word. Secondly, he said, just pray this prayer in Luke 24, verse 45. "Open my mind as I read your words." And God's word here says, then he opened their minds that they could understand the scriptures. Wow. And no one's arrived here. But if we wanted to see treasures in God's word, God opened, you know, my eyes, but now open my mind, because our minds need to be continuously transformed into the likeness of Christ. Please help me to see this. Take away all my distractions, God. Give me a clear mind to hear your word, to understand it, to be obedient to your word. Show me through the scriptures. Please, God, help me with this. The third thing he shared with me, open my heart to your word. In Acts 16, verse 14, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And God, just do something with my heart. I don't even know my own heart. God, help my heart to be triggered here. Because I'm not even connected with my own heart. My heart's up and down, and my mind's up and down. My thoughts are up and down. But I want to change from within, and I want to change from the heart. And so I sort of connected that with Ephesians 1. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened. That God does something amazing with my heart. Please, God, transform me from within. You've got this crazy love for me, but transform me from within. I want to have depth in my walk with you. I want there to be deep, deep roots. And finally, he said, open my ears to your word. In Isaiah 50, verse 4 to 5, it says, he awakens me morning by morning. Is that not cool? Not your alarm? He awakens me. Mkulu mkulu. Okay? He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. Wow. Father, please help me to hear your Holy Spirit. Help me to meditate and think about you. Open my ears. I want to hear your word that is crystal clear, that the static is out, and that I'm really connecting with you. And these are things that have helped me. They may not help you. And I'm like, God, please open my eyes. God, open my mind. God, open my heart. God, open my ears as I get into your word. Because I don't want to see this as something ritual. But I want to see this as living and active. And you're doing something within me. There's no magic formula. And you often hear folks say, well, I want to be radical for God. Well, consistency is radical. And if you consistently do something, you are being absolutely radical. And that's what it's about. And transformation takes place. You are transformed into the likeness of God, but you're also being transformed into His likeness. And it's working both ways. That's the way that God's Spirit is working. And so, in closing, I just want to help us to remember one thing. Wow, let's just start off by remembering. Because there's so much power in that word. Remember. Sit down and start remembering about what God's done, about your life, about your blessings. Because past blessings are stepping stones to future victories. And remembering God's word, the more you're in God's word, it's like, whoa, it's going to become alive and active in your life. And it's going to be easy to follow it, because consistency, man, is half the battle won. And we will be radical for God. I love you guys. Thank you so much for your time.